Welcome to Legal News and Review, recipient of the Florida Bar Award of Excellence, and featuring Michael Santucci, co-chair of the Intellectual Property Division of the Broward Bar. From the law firm of Santucci Priori, practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale. Legal News and Review, the only real problem solver radio program using the law, with your moderator, Philip Bell, and hosts and legal panel attorney, Gary Singer, chair of the Broward County Bar Association's Real Property Section. Gary Singer is board certified in real estate law and a syndicated columnist from the Sun Sentinel. He is an expert in his field of practice. Now, here's your moderator, Philip Bell.
On the docket for today's broadcast, personal injury lawsuits is a legal action taken to recover damages from another party that has caused harm through inaction, negligence, or even malfeasance. You may be able to recover some or all of your medical expenses, pain and suffering, lost wages, and depending how severe your injury is, rehabilitative costs, just to name a few. And today, we're going to be speaking with William Zeller, partner and board-certified civil trial attorney from the law firm of Schuler, Halverson, Weiser, Zeller, and Overbeck. First, I'd like to say good evening to our legal panel host. Good evening, Michael Santucci.
How are you, Phil?
I'm doing good. Happy New Year. Great seeing you again.
Nice.
And, of course, our legal panel host, Gary Singer, it's great to have you back. You look great.
Thanks, Phil. Good seeing you. It was hard to be away. I appreciate you giving me a little time. I had to get some medical stuff taken care of, but I'm very happy to be back on the show. And,
well,
we're kind of
like,
me back.
We're kind of like the mafia. Once you're out, we bring you back in.
You try to get out, but you suck me back in.
Absolutely. You know, You can't turn on the TV without seeing advertisements regarding PI attorneys. And not to say that's a bad thing, but let's face it, to choose an attorney, you know, what is the process? How do you vet attorneys, especially for something that's so life-changing that, it's amazing to me. And I'm very pleased to have Bill Zeller, and good evening.
How you doing?
I'm doing good, Bill.
Good to see you.
It's great to have you come in and explain to us not only the practice of law that you operate in, the nuances, if you will, personal injury. We see these advertisements where this attorney got $400,000, this attorney got $1 million, but they don't show the pictures of what these people look like. I'm going to ask you straightforward. First of all, for somebody to get that kind of settlement, what have you, what kind of injuries are they looking at?
Yeah, it's always deceiving because you drive down 95 and you see, you know, this firm got me $1 million and the person holding the sign looks completely healthy,
right,
completely normal, and they're smiling and they're like, hey, I got $1 million and they look great.
I'd be smiling too.
And that's really not how it works. It's, to get $1 million you have to be pretty severely injured. I can give you an example. I mean, right now I've got a case going on where a gentleman was injured at a store. Mm-hmm. And basically what happened was the store was, he would rent a piece of equipment, they were putting it on the back of his truck, and they were hooking up it was like a boom truck. They were hooking up a trailer to the back of his truck, and they realized it wouldn't fit. They asked him to help hook it up, so he picked up and, you know, was holding a piece of metal for them. They moved it back, and it's one of those, you know, you're just hooking up to it. It's a trailer, you're hooking up to the back of a car. The leg that was holding it gave way, metal spike went right through his foot. So that gentleman has had 6 surgeries on his right foot. He walks with a cane now. He actually had decided to have his foot amputated. That's how bad it was. He was going to have his foot amputated, and then coming to a board-certified attorney who cares about his client, I convinced him, don't do that yet. Let me find you the world-renowned expert on saving limbs. We did that. We sent it to him. He went there. He had one more surgery. He's doing okay, but he still knows he's probably going to have it amputated 5, 10, 15 years down the road. That particular case, there is offers over $1 million because that's the type of injury you have to have, something that is almost life-changing to get $1 million in a case. Your simple car accident where you get hit from behind and you could end up with a herniated disc in your neck, which is a pretty significant injury, is not going to settle for $1 million because it's not life-changing as much as, you know, a gentleman who now can't work. He has to walk with a cane wherever he goes. and it's completely changed his life and turned it upside down.
For our longtime listeners, they know it's a huge difference in a PI lawyer between a settlement mill and a trial lawyer. And in doing my research about you, so you've done at least in probably well over 50 jury trials. How do you make the decision whether to settle at that $1.2 million or whatever it is, or to take the trial and go for at $3 million or whatever?
That's always the difficult part to determine, because you want to, first of all, most of the time it's based on your experience. You know what this case, what you'll get at trial, what you could get at trial. Now, you can never guarantee anything at trial, so you could lose.
Yeah.
You could win big, but the odds of that are not great. It's more likely you're going to get somewhere in the middle. Ultimately, it's the client's decision on whether or not to take a settlement or not. And I usually tell them there's a certain number that if it's below that number, absolutely, you should go to trial. And then there's another number that's a little higher. They're offering an amount over that number. You should take that all day long and go home and be happy. And then there's a gray area between those two numbers where I can't fault a client for taking the amount. I can't fault them for not taking it and rolling the dice and going to trial. I mean, I love going to trial. I like it. I think it's fun. That to me is the best part of the job, is going to trial. That's the good part. I hate preparing for it because that's days and days of work, but I love actually trying the case. But with most of the clients, most people don't want to go to trial. They're a little concerned. They're a little nervous. So you just explain all the aspects of what could happen at trial, how it goes. You tell them, based on my experience, this is where I think a jury would, you know, it's what I think a jury would do, but I can't guarantee it. And then, you know, the client makes the decision and I'm happy with it.
What goes into your valuation process? Like, how do you put a number and come up with a range for what the case is worth to provide to your clients?
Difficult, depending upon the case. Here's kind of an easy example. Typical car accident, soft tissue, non-surgical case, meaning you didn't have surgery, you didn't break a bone, which would be hard tissue, you have soft tissue, you have a disc, ligament, some type of injury like that. Those cases typically settle anywhere between $10,000 and $65,000. That's the range. Now, I've settled some for over $100,000, I've settled some for less than $10,000. Within that range, how do you factor in where you fit in that range? First, you have to look at the impact of the accident. Is this a minor impact where there's not much property damage? Because what the insurance company is going to argue is, you know what? That type of impact could not cause your injury. It makes it more difficult for me at court to prove that this impact was significant enough to cause the injury. So maybe you're on the lower spectrum if you're looking at that. You also look at, do you have prior accidents? If you had hurt your neck 5 years ago, and then again 10 years before that, and then you hurt your neck two or three times, and now you have this accident, and you hurt it yet again, the insurance company is going to say, well, your injuries aren't related to our accident. They're related to those prior accidents. So you have to factor that in. So what I do, based on my experience, because I have tried a lot of cases. Mm-hmm. I started out as a state attorney, tried a ton of criminal cases, mm-hmm. and then I try a lot of civil cases. And what you get is, when you're in court all the time, you understand what you think a jury's going to do. You get a feel for what a jury's going to like, what they're not going to like, and I relay that to my clients. And I tell them, look, the fact that if a client doesn't speak very well, if they can't get their point across with what they're trying to say, I know they're not going to make a good witness, and I know the jury's not going to like them. So I'm factoring that into their overall evaluation. I'm telling them, all right, instead of that $65,000 number, maybe you're around $40,000. And I tell them, I'm straight up with them. I say, look, one of the things is, you're having problems telling me mm-hmm. how you feel. Imagine if you're sitting in a courtroom with six strangers and a courtroom full of people, you're going to be even more nervous. You're not going to be able to do it. So that's something we have to factor in. And then I have some clients who are phenomenal on the stand, and I know they're going to make great witnesses. And those are the ones that I tell the insurance company, hey, this person's going to do wonderful in court, and you don't want them on the stand.
Well, let's take a real-life issue. If I hurt my back in an accident and I go to a podiatrist because I have a foot problem, I'm not going to talk to the podiatrist about my back, but the insurance companies will spin that against you. Is that correct?
Absolutely. They get all of your medical records. They go through each and every record. And every time you go to the doctor, and if you don't complain of that injury you had, they try to make it sound like, well, it's not that significant of an injury. Otherwise, you would have told your podiatrist about it. But you and I know, real world, you're not going to do that. You're not going to go to the podiatrist and say, hey, my neck's hurting me when you're there for a foot problem.
Hey, I got a question, and let me start off by saying it is a rhetorical or a hypothetical question. But, you're in a situation, someone gets hurt, they get money. Money is the best we can do to make it better. Plus, you need money for care, rehabilitation, et cetera. So, personally, I'm a believer that, if someone harms you, you deserve to be compensated. And it's a big part of our system. system. But that being said, obviously there's accidents and injuries where people don't get money because no one was negligent. You know, however, there obviously is a trend with trial lawyers are all over television, billboards, et cetera, where basically anything that goes wrong, you're getting money. And there are a lot of critics who say this is a big drain on society. It's very overblown, et cetera, et cetera. It's hurting companies. It's hurting their medical insurance.
I smell tort
et cetera,
reform.
Et cetera. Tort reform.
Right.
You know, and as someone who I'm assuming is not a big fan of tort reform, you know, how do you come back there from a 10,000-foot view and say, no, this is important for society, not just for the individual clients?
Anyone who's ever been in an accident can tell you why it's important.
Well, that's
it's
the
people
individual.
Who haven't been that all of a sudden have that argument, and then as soon as they're in one, I mean, nobody wants to call me. Nobody really wants to hire me because they don't want to be in an accident
of
where
course.
They have to hire an attorney. But when they do get in it and their life has changed, or, you know, they can't do the activities they used to do before, I kind of look at it as, you know, your life was at one level, and then you might have an accident that didn't change it completely, but it moves it down just a little bit. So now there's a new normal for you, and that new normal is a result of that accident. And under our legal system, you can only get compensation for it. You can't get put back to the time you wanted to. But to answer your question, kind of like the tort reform, that is one of the biggest problems I have trying cases. My first question when I sit in front of a jury, and I do jury selection, is about, not about tort reform, but about the billboards you see on 95 and the overall prejudice that people have against personal injury lawsuits. Because everyone's heard of the McDonald's case, right? And they go, oh my goodness, how could this lady get $15 million for burning coffee? I mean, that's ridiculous that she got that, right? And nobody knows the real facts of it, but they just think, hey, that doesn't sound right. And what you hear about in the media is just that 1% of cases where those are the outliers, where the verdicts are much higher than maybe
normal. I don't know if it's even that. I think it may almost be more the $15,000 settlements that are a constant that's turning off society. Because it seems like, and again, I'm not saying this. Again, this is, you know, just
right.
a discussion. Because I
right.
actually believe people should be compensated when they're hurt on a personal level. But it seems like every time something bad happens, people put their hand out. And that's obviously, you know, being helped along by billboards saying every time something happens to you, put your hand out.
Well, and those, I know personally, I can speak from my experience, those small cases, those ones that when people come in and I don't believe that they're really hurt, I don't sign them up. I tell them, sorry, you know, you're not hurt here, or your injuries aren't significant enough that I'm going to be able to get you a recovery, is what I tell them.
Mm-hmm.
But that is a problem. But again, you're talking about the very 1%, the very, very small amount of cases where that's, you know, where there may be some fraud, or there may be that outlier verdict. That's the 1%, but that's all you hear about in the media.
Yeah, okay.
That's all they report about. So that's what everyone hears about on a regular basis, is that 1%, not the 99%. Those 99% are the people who are truly injured. Most of my clients come to me and they say, I never thought I'd be in a personal injury attorney's office.
But isn't it more than injured? Doesn't it have to be someone did something wrong to make them injured?
Absolutely. I mean, to have a personal injury case is four things you have to prove. You know, it's a duty, breach, causation, damage. Duty is the person who injured you has to have a duty to, you know, to be more careful, kind of like driving down the street. You can't just smash in the back of someone's car. You have a duty to all the drivers on the road to act reasonable. To act, you know, as a reasonable person would act. Breaching that duty is someone who smashes into the back of your car. They're not paying attention. They breach that duty. So you have to prove both of those. The duty is usually easy to prove, usually. The breach can be difficult, depending upon the case. Then there's causation. Causation is were the injuries you have caused by the accident. And that is always difficult to prove because, you know, with your standard smaller people would think whiplash or some type of disc injury. It's a bulge, it's a herniation, some type of abnormality in your spine. You know, as we age, we all shrink because we all lose water in our spine, so we all shrink a little bit, so we all have degenerative changes in our spine. So every single case I have involves a causation question of whether or not that injury that you have was caused by the accident or caused by just pure aging. And that's where the doctors have to come in and say, you know, and give their opinion. And then the fourth prong is damages. You have to prove that not only your injuries are related to the accident, but you've suffered some monetary damages. You know, you can collect past medical bills, future medical bills, past lost wages, future lost wages, pain and suffering for the past and future, loss of enjoyment of life, mental anguish, inconvenience, you know, just the inconvenience of being in an accident, going to a doctor 60 times a day. I mean, think about it. Every time you go to a doctor, how it disrupts your day.
Oh, yeah.
You know? I mean, you're talking 2 hours no matter what.
Excuse me. But when you take on a case, and again, we talked about this, and as a good friend of ours, Charles Moorhead says it's the keys to the kingdom, so to speak, keys to the courthouse, because it's contingency. But when you take on a case, you invest in a case, not just your time, but we're talking about expert witnesses and a host of other resources that you don't have time to play. You look at the case, and you can't take everything that crosses your desk, obviously. Maybe you feel that it's not a strong enough case, or maybe just from the simple fact there's issues there you don't like. And you're not saying that they're fibbing, but you just feel have that feeling that it's just not a case you want to take on. But I think for our audience, they need to understand when you do take on a case, it is a capital investment that you and your firm put into it, correct?
Absolutely. It's my money going into each and every case I have. So I'm investing. I mean, if I put $10,000 in a case and I lose, my client doesn't pay that. I'm out $10,000.
Right.
So I have to believe in every case that comes in. If I'm going to sign up a case, I have to believe in it. Otherwise, I'm not going to invest that money. If I did, I wouldn't be in business real long.
That's $10,000 plus the value of your time, plus
exactly.
The value of your staff's time, any associates that are working with you. You know?
Exactly.
And I
commitment.
Doubt it's often that little.
It's yeah,
my
well,
friends who do PI. Yeah.
Your basic case to take through trial, my costs are usually between $30,000 and $40,000. Most of it's experts. But we've had cases where we've had $500,000 in costs alone.
It's amazing.
You know, just costs. One of them was the anthrax case, you know, down in Boca
yeah.
with the,
I was reading about that.
You had that.
Right. And the Stevens
oh, that
case.
Yeah.
And that case took 10 years to resolve. And it was, over $500,000 in costs. And it was brought up to United States Supreme Court. You know, there was that question when I said duty breach causation damages. The U.S. government said they didn't have a duty in that case. But as a result of that case, the good thing that came out of it is the United States government has changed how they handle biological weapons. So hopefully now nobody who just, you know, can just go in, take some anthrax, put it in a letter and just mail it out to,
No, I think you just hit like one of the best parts about PI lawyers and I like to think lawyers in general is that they affect positive change quite often. You know, in this case,
absolutely.
You affected a change of, you know, policy that doesn't just help the one person, but helps society as a whole. That sounds kind of soapboxy now that I said it, but it really does. You know, when we think, you know, tort reform about the negatives, no one wants to focus on the positives that's created when you either take a company or, in this case, the government and affect positive change. I mean, everyone laughs about the McDonald's thing, but you know what? McDonald's is really careful now not to burn people.
Yeah. Yeah, it has not.
I mean, for real. Sense. I mean, they really are. Yeah.
It was as hot as a radiator in your car.
Yes, it was ridiculously
right.
hot.
And every company that... Every company that makes a change and is worried about, oh, I'm going to get sued for this, so I have to do this differently, it's because they were sued successfully because they were doing something that was not proper.
Especially in the products liability category.
Absolutely.
What is really, you know, if your one duty is to make a profit for your shareholders, what's going to keep you from going the extra yard to make sure your children's toys are safe?
I just handled a case against
Other
Bard.
Than some bad PR, but yeah. It's those big punch in the eye judgments in those industries that make this probably one of the countries that has the safest products in the world.
That's
so there are some good things that come out of it.
There's an IV filter that you can put in, you know, to stop blood clots. And I had there's a filter that the legs, it looks kind of like a spider. And what happens is they put it in your vein and then the legs were breaking off and traveling throughout the body. And I had a young girl who was in a really bad accident and they put this filter in. And then 2 years later, she gets a letter from the hospital that put it in saying, please come back. There's a problem with that filter. And when they found out is the legs have broken off, had severed her aorta.
Oh, my gosh.
And there's another piece on her back that they didn't take out. But, I mean, the pictures of this little tiny leg going through her aorta, she didn't even know about it. It was just sitting there. Once that moved out, it would have, you know, blood would have been everywhere. But thankfully, it kind of went in and just kind of sealed itself. But I mean, unbelievable. So things like that are being changed.
Yeah,
now,
so let
that
me ask you this. This is one I see TV commercials on, right? This particular issue, this little spider thing. So mm-hmm. I had the visualization for
those
commercials.
Late night
commercials.
Yeah, like on History Channel, you know, the other channels that no one watches, but, you know, me and other old people have those commercials. So is someone better off if they may have this issue going to a prominent local? I mean, let's, you know, not just to plug yourself, but going to a prominent local trial attorney like yourself, are they better off calling that 800 number? And
no,
why?
They're better off going with a board certified attorney locally than the big ones are just a mill. They're bringing you in. They're trying to work you through. And in the case I had specifically with this filter, there is a class action going on, and it's in Kentucky right now,
mm-hmm.
and it's in the a big, huge class action. It's still going on. It's been around for years and years. I was able to take my client's case. We did not join the class action. We were able to get it resolved within about a year.
And it was so quicker and probably for more money.
Correct. So she got a much better resolution by doing it that way than just sitting in this massive amount where there's, you know, 500 people sitting in this one lawsuit and it's just sitting for days, for years and years and years, and nothing's really happening there. But if you can go with a local firm that knows the law and is board certified so they can take it to trial, then I think you're much better off. So
interesting enough, though, I talk to a lot of attorneys, as you know, on a daily basis. Now, the general public may not be aware of your name or your firm's name, but certainly other attorneys are. And as a matter of fact, one attorney made a comment to me today, and you confirmed this last night, is that your partners, all to be a partner in your firm, you have to be board certified.
Correct.
It makes you very unique. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the first requirement. You have to be board certified because at our firm, you have to be able to try a case.
What is the story behind your firm?
Well, Richard Schuler started it some 35 years ago, long before I even thought about law school. And we make fun of him all the time because of that. But he started it years ago.
When they had books.
Right. Exactly. He's the only one who still uses books. But the idea behind it is everyone can try a case, and everyone can take a case to trial no matter what. So, and to handle more difficult cases. So we get a lot of our cases from referrals from other attorneys because we handle more complex, difficult cases. And the attorneys know we're willing to go to trial on these things. We're not just going to sit back and resolve it. We'll take it all the way if we have to. And the insurance companies know that. So the fact they know we're willing to go into trial means they know they're going to have to pay more money to us than some firm that's never going to go to trial.
Now, that's definitely an important thing. You know, when someone's board certified, it doesn't mean they're an excellent lawyer, but it means they certainly at least have a higher threshold than most others. And actually, this show won an award for promoting board certification.
That's right.
Through the Florida Bar. And, so we're big believers in it. So if someone's going to call up, you or any other personal injury attorney, what are three questions they should ask to make sure they get the right attorney?
First question to ask is, are you board certified?
Okay.
Is the area their accident, is that your area of expertise? You know, if someone calls me up and says, look, I have a real estate question, I'm not handling it. I'm going to be referring it out to another board certified real estate attorney.
Who will and shouldn't be.
No. We specialize in just one area of law, and personal injury is a large area of law, but we specialize in that area. So you want to make sure your attorney can handle that area, that they are board certified, because board certification means the Florida Bar recognizes you as an expert in that area of law.
Okay.
And the third question, I think, is more of just not so much a question, but do you get a good feel for the person? I like to, if I have a good feeling with the person I'm talking to, then I want them as a client. And I think if you're calling someone up to see if they should be your attorney, you want to have a rapport with them. You want to feel like, I like this guy, I trust this guy or girl. So I like to have people come in if I can right away and meet them, face to face, because I think we can build a rapport, and then they'll understand that, hey, I'm there for them. I'm not just here just to make a quick dollar. I'm there to make sure they're going to get the right care, treatment, and get the best result they possibly can on their case.
But you don't know what you're up against with these insurance companies. They troll the Facebook. As a matter of fact, they have face recognition software so they could catch you doing something you shouldn't do.
Drones? I don't know.
Or trolling is what I heard it's called. And then, you don't know what you're up against. That's the whole thing. Their job is to pay the least that they could possibly pay. And, for somebody that really needs ongoing care and issues that surround somebody who's been really injured and wrongfully injured, that's when you need an attorney that really
That's when you need a good attorney.
Yeah, because you only have one shot and one comment I want to make.
It's your whole life that it affects going forward.
It is.
Exactly.
But how many of us, shake it off, that's how I would raise. Mm-hmm. Shake it off, get knocked down in a football game or soccer, shake it off, and you shake it off, you walk it off and so forth. But, I don't feel bad after something, and then all of a sudden, a week goes by, then I can't move. Things like that is real life stuff as well. So Bill, while we're wrapping this up, when should someone contact you if they had an accident, a slip and fall, whether it's trucking or motorcycle that you practice, whatever the situation is, when should they call you after an accident?
They should call right away because there's many reasons why, but the insurance company right away is going to call the witnesses, get witness statements. They're going to talk to, they're going to want to talk to you. They're going to want to talk to everybody. They're gathering information and evidence right away. if you wait before you hire an attorney, you're losing out on gathering that evidence. And people's memories fade pretty quickly. So you want to get those witness statements. You want to get the photographs. And from a personal injury side, there's an aspect in car accidents with PIP. And now the PIP law has changed, so you have to see a doctor within 14 days and get what's called an emergency medical condition done or an EMC done right away. If you don't get that done, you lose your PIP benefits. So things like that, those little issues or nuances in the law, you need to speak to an attorney right away because they'll help you, will guide you through all that, and will collect all the evidence just in case you are injured. If you're not injured, don't worry about it.
Bill, you know, I like you. You're a Nova alum. You're on the ILSA Journal of International Comparative Law. Get a lot of good things going for you. If our listeners want to reach out and find out more about you or maybe get in touch with you, how would they go about doing that?
Well, we have you can call 561-689-8180. That's our phone number. Or look us up on the web. It's SHW for Shuler, Halverson, Weiser, -law.com. Or just type in the name Shuler, Halverson, and you'll get our name. Or type my name in, Bill Zeller, with a Z-O-E-L-L-E-R. And we'll come up, and if you have any questions, we'll answer right away. We'll meet you wherever you are.
You know, it goes by too fast, even though we're now in this new platform of one attorney per day. You know, again, we're 5 days a week, actually 7 days a week now because they're doing replays on the weekend, I just found out. And we're on 96.9, 103.9, 740 AM, but also iHeart nationally, TuneIn, iRadio Now apps. You know, satellite HD radio is phenomenal. And, Bill, I appreciate you coming in as well. Hopefully you could hang out, have pizza with us afterwards. And, Gary?
Well, it was a great show. I want to thank everyone for listening in. Be careful out there. Have fun. And as always,
be legal!
You've been listening to the award-winning Legal News and Review, recognized by the Florida Bar's Award of Excellence. Legal News and Review, featuring Michael Santucci from the law firm of Santucci Priori, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale, and practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation. They can be reached at 500law.com or at 954-351-7474. To contact the legal panel hosts and guests, go to BeLegalBuzz.com. And to reach Gary Singer, board-certified real estate and syndicated columnist, appearing in 400 media outlets, including the front page of the Money Section every Monday in the Sun Sentinel, from the law firm of Gary M. Singer, PA, call 954-851-1448. Legal News and Review. Remember, be legal.